So I've worn many hats over my journey as an artist, actor, director, dancer, choreographer, artistic director, arts educator, and drag queen.
I'm not a beautiful woman. What you see before you is an illusion.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Jessica Hankin, and with me today on the podcast is Aaron Hankin, my husband.
Good day to you, Jessica, and hello. Did you like that intro? Did I sound really comfortable and relaxed and at ease behind a microphone? I've never been behind one of these before. I'm going to do my best. It's really nice to get to do the podcast with you. It's nice to sit behind a microphone at the Baltimore Public Media Studios. And listeners, it's nice to be with you in this format. I get to see some of you at the events when we co-host on stage, but this is pretty special. So glad to be here. And our theme for this week's podcast, the title is Sunrise and Peaches.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds maybe like a beach cocktail.
It sure does.
Or some kind of a singing duo, like Lightning and Thunder or Captain and Tennille.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not what this is about.
Mm-mm, no.
What is it about, Jessica?
Although they would probably make an incredible...
They make a killer duo.
Yeah, they really would. Yeah. It's about two individuals who found themselves and found love for themselves through the art of drag. This first story is from Sunrise, who shared this story at a recent Stoop event that we had celebrating 20 years of Stoop. And the way that I wanted to do that was basically to send a love letter out to all the creative communities in Baltimore, because I feel like we've done an incredible job of supporting each other and just lifting each other up. This story is from Joseph Rich, who is the education director at Everyman Theater, and his drag persona is known as Sunrise, S-O-N-R-I-Z-E. Take a listen.
So I've worn many hats over my journey as an artist, actor, director, dancer, choreographer, artistic director, arts educator, and drag queen. I started doing drag in the 90s in New York. I'm a native New Yorker. And it was kind of by accident. I was hired by a modern dance company, and the piece I was hired to do incorporated drag. The piece was exploring gender and gender roles, and I was kind of thrown into the world of drag because part of my track in that piece was being in drag. And it's where I met my drag mother, Aphrodite. An amazing black queen in New York City who took very good care of me, and we're still friends to this day. Drag became something really special for me because it was a way to continue to explore myself as a performer, plus as a queer person in the world, just really finding a way in to express myself. I was very lucky. I got a job at Lucky Chang's. Oh, Lucky Chang's people, yes. Yes, thank you. Lucky Chang's, for those of you that don't know, was this amazing Chinese restaurant that had drag performers. And I had my own show on Sunday and Monday nights called Queen for a Day, where I would do some numbers and some audience participation. It was really, really fun, and I was there for several years. And, you know, back in that day, this was way before this phenomenon we know as RuPaul's Drag Race, where today, you know, all the queens want to get on that program. But in my day, you knew you made it if you booked a gig in Provincetown. It seems like most of you know Provincetown, but for those of you that don't, Provincetown is this renowned gay, queer, lesbian, all the letters resorts at the very end of the tip of the Cape, Massachusetts. And I was very lucky. I booked a season-long gig in Provincetown at the Alibi, which was this little dive bar, but it was right in the center of Commercial Street, so right in the heart of Provincetown. And in Provincetown, the artists, particularly the drag entertainers, and there was lots of competition, right, to get folks into your show, you had to do this thing called barking, where you got in drag really early, and you got your postcards and you stood out in front of your venue and you gave out postcards to try and get people to come to your show that night. And one of the coolest things about it was I got to meet lots of incredible people. Even if they didn't come to the shows, I got to meet really cool people. And, you know, John Waters has a summer house there. And every night, like clockwork, he would drive by on his bicycle while I was barking. He never came to see the show, but every night he would say, oh, by the way, my drag name is Sunrise with a Z, like Liza. And he would drive by and say, hello, Sunrise, have a great show, and keep going. So this one night, I'm standing out there barking and handing out postcards, and I notice across the street a woman and a little girl, which I found out soon was her daughter. And Sunrise is always a redhead. And in the early days, I had this signature mop of curls. Think Little Orphan Annie on acid, right? This huge mop of curls. And I noticed this little girl had almost the same hair as me. So I knew they were talking about me because they were pointing and talking and pointing and talking. And finally, they crossed the street and came over. And the mom said to me, my little girl, my daughter wants to meet you. She's been talking about the pretty princess across the street. So I got down and I said, we have the same hair. And she said, well, you're very pretty. And I said, well, you're very pretty too. And she just lit up and smiled. And we had this great conversation. And they went off their way. And I finished barking, did my show that night. So the next night, I'm out there barking again, and all of a sudden, the mom comes back, and she's by herself, and she throws her arms around me. She gives me this huge hug, and she bursts into tears. And she said, I just wanted to thank you so much. My little girl gets bullied all the time at school because of her hair. And she came home last night, and she said, Mommy, the pretty princess said I was pretty too. Now maybe people will leave me alone at school. And I thought it was just really important to share this story with you tonight, particularly what's going on in our country and in the world. And I hope you all agree, a drag queen can change the life of a little girl. Thank you.
Out of the mouths of babes, I love the way that kid reacted mm-hmm. to Sunrise from across the street. And even more, I love the way the kid's mom reacted ultimately. Beautiful story. Sunrise. On stage at the Stoop. You're listening to the Stoop Storytelling Podcast, and we've got another glamorous Technicolor drag story coming up for you right after this.
All right, welcome back. Thank you for continuing to listen to the Stoop Storytelling Series Podcast. This next story is from an old friend of mine who I've been lucky enough to know since middle school. We did time together at St. Mary's in Annapolis, which seems like it would be something that you would be proud to have done for your child, sending them to that academic institution on the water. It's beautiful.
You take issue with that, though. You have complicated feelings about your education there.
I do, because I feel like I did get a good education. There's no question.
But when you met this friend, you knew you had found your people.
Oh, I was so happy when middle school hit and just more freaks came into the fold so that I didn't feel so alone. So this is a story from Joshua Grinnell, who is sharing Joshua's relationship with his drag persona, Peaches Christ. Take a listen.
So I really just don't even understand why Jessica booked me for a show called The Outsiders. I don't get it. No, I'm just kidding. So I wanted to start my story tonight by revealing something that might be shocking right at the start. I'm not a beautiful woman. What you see before you is an illusion. And I actually am a nerdy guy named Joshua underneath all of this. And like Jessica said, I grew up just outside of Crofton, Maryland, down the road. And as a young boy, I was flamboyant. I was a sissy. I liked drama. I did theater. I did haunted houses. I loved horror movies. I was a weird kid. You know, I was definitely the other. And it was fine. I mean, for the most part, I knew I was other. I probably knew I was queer. But it was okay. I wasn't shamed by it from my family, which is really great. And I was allowed to be creative. And then in seventh grade, I transferred to St. Mary's in Annapolis. And so 7th and 8th grade was really the period of my life. If any of you have ever seen the movie Welcome to the Dollhouse, I really relate to Dawn Wiener. You know, I really connect with her because that was where I was told I was a faggot for the first time. And this was the later 80s. I was told I was going to get AIDS. I was also, you know, kind of treated as though I, you know, might have AIDS. And I was very aware of my difference. And I grew up Catholic, so I loved Jesus. And, you know, grew up in the Catholic Church. I enjoyed being Catholic. At this time, it wasn't just the kids who were telling me I was different. It was also the nuns teaching me who were telling me I was probably going to go to hell, you know, in the afterlife. So 7th and 8th grade were tough years for me. I sort of caved in on myself. And in high school, I just learned to not be as flamboyant. I learned not to be as big of a sissy. And it was sort of survival of the fittest. And Catholic school kids, you'd think they'd be nicer. They're not. They're meaner. No, I don't know. But I think they are. So stand by that fact. And it was in high school that I sort of found my squad, my tribe. And there were four friends of mine, all girls, who really I bonded with the most. Sarah, who's here tonight, was this smart, creative friend who I co-wrote a play with, and we presented it in front of the school. Jessica was the freak. But in the best possible way, the Firuza Balk from The Craft. She was scary. I mean, if you were popular and you were in her zone of target, you could get a mouthful, you know, and she would reduce popular girls to tears. And I loved it. She was so cool and badass. She wore black eyeliner, even though she wasn't supposed to, and rolled her Catholic schoolgirl skirt up high enough that, you know, she'd sometimes get in trouble. She was, you know, she was a hero. She also introduced me to the gender-bending lead singer Robert Smith of The Cure and Jane's Addiction and other cool music. My friend Holly, who I ended up going to multiple things like homecoming and prom with, was also queer. We never talked about it, but we both knew, you know. And Holly was who I went to see the Rocky Horror Picture Show with for the first time. And Glenn Burney at the Marley Station Mall. And let me tell you, that was a life-changing event for me, you might imagine. You know, I often describe Rocky Horror as my sort of It Gets Better video, because that was where I was like, oh. But it was really Kathleen and her family's obsession, her whole family's obsession with renting the weirdest movies they could at Mom's Video on Kent Island. And I would go over there to see stuff. And that's where I first saw Pink Flamingos, ladies and gentlemen. And seeing Pink Flamingos and watching Divine and Mink Stole vie for the title of Filthiest Person Alive was a spiritual religious experience for me. And once I saw that movie, there was no turning back. You know, I knew that up here in Baltimore, where I had relatives living, and it was just, you know, just a short car ride away, that you know, Divine ate dog shit. You know, dressed in full drag. I also saw multiple maniacs where Mink gave Divine a rosary job in a Catholic church. It was heaven for me. It was sacrilegious. It was punk rock. It was in your face. And it was coming from Maryland. It blew my fucking mind. So this nerdy, geeky, awkward high school kid found a lot of empowerment through movies and friendship and being proud of being the other. So that when one of the sisters asked me to stay after class, it was ma soeur, she was our French teacher. Ma soeur means my sister in French, that's what we had to call her. Ma soeur actually kept me after class and wanted to talk to me. And I knew I was in trouble because I think I'd been talking during class. And what she said was, "You are destined for a life of misery." And I said, "Oh, really?" And she said, "Yeah, you hang out with all these girls, you act like a girl, and if you don't figure out how to be a man, you're going to have a horrible, miserable, lonely life." And she bullied me that way where no one else was around. And I told Jessica about it recently for the first time. I didn't tell any of my friends. But something in me at that time, because I'd been exposed to the movies, I had friends, I knew what she was saying was wrong. You know, I knew she had been hurt at some point in her life. And I knew that she was wrong. And this was the first time where I kind of felt empowered, you know, as a weirdo or a queer. So much so that later that year, when a new kid showed up, he was a jock, he was a popular jock, and in gym class, and get this, I hated gym class. And I know I'm not alone there. If you were an outsider, gym class was, you know, horrible. And I was in gym class, and this jerk pushed me down, like just decided to push me over, and I landed. And he laughed, and the other popular kids didn't laugh. And I looked at my friends, and I remember Vicky standing there, and Vicky looking at me like, "You can't let him get away with that." So I picked up a ball and threw it as hard as I could in his face. And it smashed his face, and I got in trouble, and he said to me we were going to fight after school that day. But he also said, and this is so bizarre, but I knew that he, you know, he tuned into something. He said, "I'm going to give you the sex change you always wanted." What? It's like, no matter how weird I am, where is Tommy, what's his name, today? You know, I just kind of want to know, like, what was going on in your mind that's what you told me? So I, needless to say, I was in the parking lot after school. No fight happened. And really, you know, through these friendships and kind of our group was sort of anyone who felt outsider could be friends of ours. You know, we made it and we graduated. And I ended up winning an award at graduation for drama and for writing. And I left St. Mary's and I said to myself, I'm leaving Maryland and I'm getting the hell out and I'm never coming back. And I wanted to go to New York to go to school, and I didn't. I ended up at Penn State, of all places. And I ended up making a movie at Penn State called Jizz Mopper because I studied film. Where I did drag for the first time in the movie. I wanted to appear in the movie. And after making the movie and graduating, I moved to San Francisco and I started a midnight movie event where I would screen all my favorite movies, a la the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I graduated 25 years ago. And if you had told me then, or even when I moved to San Francisco and was doing drag as a hobby, that someday in the long, long future, you know, you'd be making a living as Peaches Christ, you'd be loving your life, traveling the world, making movies, friends with people who inspired you. Mink is here in the audience tonight. I love you to death, Mink. Thank you for coming out. Being able to... Yes, let's hear for Mink Stoll. If someone had told me that all of these things that were once used to hurt me, you know, Jesus and being gay and being like a girl, would someday bring me tremendous joy and provide a great life for me and my partner, I would have thought you were lying. But now I get emails and Facebook messages from others stuck in places all over the world who I get to kind of encourage and be their, you know, Rocky Horror or Pink Flamingos. And it's a very empowering and wonderful thing. So when Jessica first asked me to come and do this thing, I knew that I should tell my story as Joshua, not as my character. And this is an odd thing for me, to be talking to you about my life while dressed up as my character. But I knew that the story had to end with me saying, I am proud to come from Maryland. And I am here tonight as the culmination of everything I learned here in Maryland. So thank you. very much. Mwah. I love you, Jessica.
I do love that Peaches at the end, slash Joshua, at the end was able to come back to a place of love and appreciation of Maryland. There's no question that Peaches is who Peaches is because of the time that we served together at St. Mary's. What doesn't kill you?
And what a name. What a drag name.
Oh,
Peaches Christ.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Chef's kiss. This was an awesome episode. Great stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Hold on.
Yeah. You have something else you want to say?
I have a question for you.
For me?
Yes. If you were to have a drag persona,
yeah,
what do you think the name would be? What would you say the name? Have you thought about this question?
Oh, wow. Maureen, you're probably going to have to cut some time out while I think about this. Let's see. I don't know. I feel like this is the kind of thing that you need to take days, weeks, months to figure. Maureen looks like she's figured it out.
Aaron Yankin?
Thank you.
Perfect.
I think we figured it
that's
out.
That's it? Oh, my God. All right, we're going to have to make this happen. I love that.
Why did I ask you, Maureen? Hey, good show. Let's just forget that last bit ever happened.
Oh, no, that's keep that stays in, baby.
So we've reached the end of the podcast, and this is probably where we say to you guys listening, hey, if you're interested in telling a story on stage at an upcoming Stoop, or you want to hear recordings of the many thousands of stories that have been told and recorded at the Stoop series over the past 20 years, you can do it all at stoopstorytelling.com.
Thanks to WYPR for supporting the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. Thank you to Maureen Harvey for giving Aaron the drag name Aaron Yankin. And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.